For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
I almost started talking to you about my 2021 year in review, and then my superstition got in the way. So we're gonna sort of talk off the cuff as an alternative. Welcome to all new, all different, all of the above. New version of the old scene. Coming to you from the comfy gray couch in the beautiful rented condo in semi-peaceful Plano, Texas. You can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank, hey, how you doing? My name's Hank. Hey, how you doing? Or you can email me your thoughts and comments at alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. So at the beginning of 2021, I gave you the 2020 year in review as we were getting ready to take a running leap into 2021. And I've already compiled all of my notes and data for what the 2021 year in review will be. And I was getting ready to sit down and chat with you about it, and then I realized I'm a little, not superstitious, but I'm a little overly cautious. As much as I ignorantly think I will wake up tomorrow, I also understand that tomorrow is not a promise, as all the cliches and truths will go. So I don't want to talk about 2021 as a year in review until it's over. Just yet. So instead, as I was compiling all of my notes and happenings and landmarks and milestones from 2021, one of them actually didn't get written down, but it was kind of a big deal that I sort of wanted to talk about. And it's not something that happened to me, but it happened in my home, so it very much has to do with me. And I'm not giving away big secrets here. At least I don't think I am. And I will send my fiance a text to make sure it's okay to publish this after I finish recording. But one of the things that was sort of one of the things that happened for the first time in 2021 was the first time my fiance went to therapy. So we are, as you all very well know, we are 2 feet, 2 knees, quads. No, I'd say, you know how you get in the pool real slow? So, like, okay, there's people that jump in the pool. That's what I used to do when I was a kid. I didn't care about the whole temperature difference. I just jumped in the freaking pool. I loved being in the water when I was a kid. Loved it, loved it, loved it. But then there's some people that do that slow, like leg, knee, quads, and they do the Bugs Bunny thing where they kind of like gently drop their booty and their front bottom in. And they kind of like adjust to the temperature. I don't know if we're adjusting to the temperature of the water or we're jumping into the water, but we are very much into the it's okay to not be okay age of life. It's all over infomercials. It's all over... I mean, it's everywhere. And it's a great thing, honestly. It's a truly good thing to be so deep into a higher sense of self and a higher sense of self-awareness and a higher self of or a higher sense of respect for those around you. And the question that has been asked for years and years and years: are we more censored? Are we more sensitive to it? Hold on. Whenever I bring up TV from the 80s and the things that you used to get away with and what's different now, it's kind of one of those, we're more sensitive to it and we realize that that stuff was probably not the nicest thing to say. Like, on The Facts of Life, when they used to call each other ugly. Or Married with Children, a show that I hold very dear to my heart, talking about fat women. There's the people that take ownership of it, yeah, go right ahead. But it's not our place to say it anymore to people. But we are very much in the it's okay to not be okay age, and we're into an age of far more inclusive behavior to race, to gender, to identification. And most notably, we are of an age where, and a time in society where, when I was a kid, infomercials, or not infomercials, but television PSAs and commercials, the partnerships for a better life of some sort, had to do with drinking and driving, had to do with drug addiction, had to do with war-torn countries, had to do with hunger. Now a lot of those have transitioned into talking to somebody, or seeking help, or seeking counseling. I was at Imagine Dragons. I saw Imagine Dragons on my birthday of 2017, and Dan Reynolds, the lead singer, in between songs, Dan Reynolds, if you've ever seen Imagine Dragons live, they are a very emotional, spill-it-on-the-stage band. And Dan Reynolds is loud and proud about how he has a therapist. And he talks about how much his therapist helped him and how much there is, and how little shame there is in talking to a therapist about anxiety, about insecurity. And when you have a grand stage of, we'll call it 14,000 people that you can talk to, if one person was enjoying the music and then enjoyed that message and saved them from some level of hurt or harm, it's a good thing. It was not as much of a thing when I was growing up. Sure. My mother said to me a couple of times, well, son, do you want to talk to somebody? But the infrastructure in the 80s and 90s wasn't what it was now. Going to seek therapy then felt like you couldn't handle yourself. It felt like you couldn't cope. And truthfully, there was some shame in it. There was a little bit of shame in feeling the need to talk to somebody. Whether it was societal or familial, there was some level in those days of shame kind of laid upon you for getting help. or even really thinking about it. And throughout the course of my life, I went, let's see, when I was in high school, I did go talk to a therapist one time and wasn't overly comfortable with it. And then when I was a year out of college, I had a psychologist that I talked to, and we actually, it was kind of funny, we reached a bit of an impasse. What I didn't know, and now that I'm a massage therapist, I actually understand this a lot better. When it comes to a quote-unquote wellness plan, whether it's working out or eating or massage or therapy, physical therapy or mental therapy, what I have come to learn is that you have to make a commitment to it. I knew this before I was a massage therapist because I'm a person who prefers to live healthy. It all takes commitment. It takes very little effort to be out of shape. You just have to continue to do nothing. But to be in shape, you have to start, and then you have to continue, and then you have to never stop. And therapy is something somewhat similar. You have to start, and then you have to continue, and then you have to keep going. And you have to build some level of regularity to it, build some level of rapport, some level of momentum. And that's something I didn't understand when I was 22, I think it was. Which is one of the times I probably needed it the most. And I was going, and I remember my psychologist and I, we reached a bit of an impasse because it was getting expensive. My insurance wasn't paying for it anymore, and so I had to come out of pocket. And so I remember telling him I only wanted to go when I felt the need to go. And he tried to tell me that I needed to go weekly. And me, I'm a person who I can be sold to, so I spend a lot of time putting up a very large guard because I don't want to be sold to. I want to be talked to. I want to be treated respectfully. I want to buy. I don't want to be sold to. And I felt at the time like my psychologist was trying to sell me psychological and mental health service. Anytime I feel like somebody's trying to sell to me, I get a really ugly feeling and they want nothing to do with it. And at that time, I felt like he was selling to me. And so we reached a bit of an impasse where I was like, well, I only want to be here when I want to be here. He says, well, you need to be coming in here on a regular basis. I said, well, I guess I don't need to be coming here anymore. And I stopped going. And I actually haven't been to a therapist since. No, not a paid therapist, at least I did. About 7 years of All of the Above Radio, and that accounts for something. But over the summer of 2021, my fiance went to therapy for the first time and has gone regularly since. And it's been big as part of my 2021, because it sparked a lot of thoughts in me. I mean, this is about her. This is about the things she wants to work on, the things she wants to prioritize. But you can't live with someone, you can't sleep next to someone and not stop and think, how does this affect me? How do I feel about this? And I'll tell you, first and foremost, how I feel and how it affects me. First and foremost, I love it. I love that she made the choice to go because it was at a time where she was feeling very stressed and decided that her by herself couldn't figure out how to prioritize. And you know what? I love that she said, I can't do this alone, and I shouldn't do it alone. And as much as I will ever try to help, I'm not a professional. So you know what? There's only so much I can do. And she respectfully thought, there's only so much she wants to put on me. And I love that. So, the fact that she's going is great. But it does cause me to start to have those thoughts of, okay, so where do I stand? How do I feel? What do I think? And I don't even remember when I wrote this down, but I wrote this down months and months ago. And it was after she started going to therapy, and then another very, very good friend of mine, he started going and talking about the efforts he was making to better himself and the exercises he was going through as part of bettering himself. And I have another friend who, she reads books about personal growth. Emotional Intelligence is one she recommended to me. I have not picked it up yet. I think it's a 4-hour listen on audiobooks. So it can be part of the early 2022 reading list. There it is. So all around me, there are people who are making the effort and getting the help to better themselves. And I love it. Especially when the person I sleep next to is doing it. Because anyone who's making an effort to better themselves, they're all aces in my book already. But here's the thing that I wrote down. And we're gonna expand on all of this. It goes as, that crazy feeling you get in your stomach when you see and feel your friends changing and growing. Does your lazy, insecure side win and push them aside? Or do you wish them well as they grow and do you update your view of them and match their software update? So let's start with just that. So, as the phrase goes, misery loves company, but she will never foot the bill. The laziest parts of you or the most insecure parts of you will forever appreciate when people are lazy or insecure along with you. But as soon as you start to see people upgrading and updating and changing pieces of themselves to be better, it does make you look at the parts of you that either you didn't know needed to be updated or the parts of you that... Wait. Yeah, that's the only one. The parts of you that needed to be updated. It forces you to look at them or the things about you that you've wanted to change but didn't want to put one foot in front of the other. So you can make that choice. You can make that choice to leave that person, to let them just get up ahead of you and continue to run the race while you sit on the sideline. Now, do you wish them well as they grow and update your view of them? That's ideally what you should do. So here's where that comes from, talking about updating software. So once upon a time, I've told this story a time or two, but my closest friend in the world, a man I've known since I was about 7 years old, we went to Mexico together. We were 22 years old, getting ready to go to Mexico, to Cancun for spring break. And we wake up, we were drinking the night before in the hotel bar that was super close to the airport. We woke up the next morning, we woke up late, we slept through our alarm. And so I wake up, I said, hey man, we gotta get out of bed. It's time to go to Mexico. And we're already late. And he says to me, I have to shower first. I said, dude, we're going to be late. He said, hey man, I can't go anywhere until I get in the shower. So I am absolutely like rolling my eyes at this point. I'm like, I mean, I'm furious. But I'm not trying to panic. So we get down to the shuttle that gets to the airport, and predictably, we miss our flight. So I'm steaming at this point. And now they get us on a different flight, and that flight was supposed to be, I think, at 9 in the morning. They get us on a different flight that's, I think, at 4 in the afternoon. So we're just sitting in the airport, like, napping on and off. And I'm just kind of off and on, annoyed. And in true form of people that occasionally are late, something happens that makes them vindicated. And we were upgraded to first class. And so anytime I gave him hell about us being late, the first thing he would say was, but we flew first class, didn't we? And we drank on that flight, which, by the way, is a whole lot of fun until you're waiting online in customs with a bunch of other spring breakers and you have to pee. But anyway, maybe 15 years later or so, I gave him hell about being late and brought up that flight. And he, instead of laughing with me, he stopped me and said, you know, man, I think you need to update your software about me. I've become so much more responsible and I'm so much more punctual now. And I stopped. I was like, huh, okay. Maybe he's not that guy. Maybe he's still that guy that I knew since I was 6 years old, but maybe that part of him is not that anymore. So do you update your view of these people as they're changing their software? Or do you let them get up ahead? Do you just stay on the sideline and watch as they run away? Or as they run towards the goal? So here's what's next. Do you look inward at what could be updated about you? So as these people around you are working to update themselves, upgrade their software, to get rid of trauma or to reprioritize their lives, what have you done? Are you sitting on the sideline? Are you upgrading your view of them? And in the midst of all of that, what are you doing? Are you now looking in the mirror? Are you now saying, wow, is it time for a new season of growth? Is it time for getting rid of another layer of snake, like a snake shedding another layer of skin? Because Lord knows, every last one of us at any given point can look in the mirror and realize there's another layer of skin that could be shed. There's a layer of trauma that could be dealt with. There's a layer of insecurity that could be unmasked. There's a new level of realization that could be found. So do you do that as your friends are upgrading around you? And here's the funny question. Why? If you choose to upgrade your software, in this world where you have not stayed on the sidelines, in this world where as your friends are getting help and seeking for better realization and better sense of self, as you are doing things along with them, as you're changing your view of them, and possibly looking in the mirror to see what could be done different about yourself. Why do you do it? Is it for fear of being left behind? Or is it because you understand that growth is a good thing? See, once upon a time, my ex, we were together 3 years, and she would come at me with all sorts of questions every so often. And one of the questions she would occasionally ask me is, do you do things because you want to make me happy, or do you do things because you want to shut me up? Now, how many times did I answer that question honestly is something I will ask you out there. It's an inconsequential answer, but it's a question that got asked. And so I ask you, when you choose to look inward as your friends around you are growing, why do you do it? Do you do it because you don't want to be left behind? If that's your answer, you're not doing it for the right reason. You're doing it, and that's good. But that's not the best reason. The best reason, or the better reason at least, is that you understand that growth is great. To be better today than you were yesterday, and to do that over and over again is a good thing. That's not to say that you're going to make exponential jumps in your personality or yourself or your realization from day to day. Excuse me. That's borderline impossible. You will have to live a very short life, or have to have come from a very, 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 very messed up place. And the fact is, if you live a reasonably long life, there's going to be gaps of time where a new realization doesn't take place. But at least if you're working towards one, that's the goal. And why? For the fear of being left behind is not the right reason. The better reason is because of the understanding of just how great growth is. And so here's a question I will ask. As you get older, what more is there? And what does, and your personal opinion, where does your age fit in when it comes to your emotional awareness and your search for growth and getting help? Because I'll tell you what, I am 11 years older than my fiance, and anywhere between 10 and, or anywhere between 3 and 12 years older than a lot of my close friends. And so they're all in different stages of their life. And actually, one person that I'm somewhat close to right now, I'm actually 17 years? He's 25. I think I'm 17 years older than him. And I've actually heard lately, over the last year, I've heard two times, and that's two more than I would have expected ever in my life. I've heard two people say, I want to be where you are at your age. Which is unbelievable to me, because in quiet moments, I realize how much work could still be done on me. But one person pretty recently said to me, I want to be where you are in terms of the friends you have and the relationships you're able to maintain at 43. And another person, within the year, as he was sorting out where he was at with his on-again, off-again girlfriend, he said, I want to be where you're at in terms of stability in your relationship. It's a huge compliment, but it's also a little bit of a weight on my shoulders. And it's only because I put that weight on my shoulders, because I want to make sure to lead by example, and I want to make sure that I'm some level of role model, I guess. But if nothing else, I just want people to feel like, I want them to look at me and feel like they're looking at the right person when they say, I want to be where you're at. I want their thoughts to be valid. I want their thoughts to be accurate. I want to be, if they think I'm that person that they want to be when they get to my age, well then, let me do my best to continue that, shall we? And so I do wonder where age factors in. And everyone's life is different. Everyone's set of experiences is different. Everyone's level of trauma is different. And everybody's threshold for what they can handle is different. So I will never say, man, I've been through so much. I'll just say, I've been through a lot. And because I'm 43 versus my fiance who is 32 or my coworker friend who is 25, I'm years ahead of a lot of those realizations and things that happen to people. And so for me, sometimes I wonder, have I just been through a lot of stuff already? Have I just done a lot of stuff already? Or is the stuff that I need to work on way deeper and going to require more time? Because it's kind of that whole conversation where people say the last 10 pounds are the hardest to lose. So maybe I am mentally and emotionally on the last 10 pounds, or we'll say the last 15 to 20. I jokingly said once upon a time, actually, I said this on the airwaves of the local bar, Chad Alexander's podcast. Find him on everywhere you can find podcasts. Just search Chad Alexander, find the local bar. But I said the first episode we did together, I said that being in a serious relationship is like going through that stack of mail on the table. For people that are not overly organized, your dinner table is probably your catch-all. You may eat there, but you also have your computer there, and you have a stack of mail that you just don't feel like going through. And for you young folks, it's going through your email inbox. But being in a serious relationship causes you to go through that because there's so many things you put to the side and think, oh, I don't have to think about that. I'm not in a relationship. But then once you become part of one, it's something you need to look into. Those issues of selfishness or sharing or insecurity about, are you attractive enough for your, let's get real, your sexual performance. These are all things that you may or may not think about because you're single and you don't need to. Or you needed to and just chose not to. Hence, putting the stack of mail on the paper or on the table. I've gone through a fair amount of that mail as the years have rolled on. And for all of the things I learned in my most recent relationship, I learned that being in a relationship causes you to go through that mail. It causes you to open up corners of your mind that either you just kept shut or you didn't know existed. So maybe for me, as friends around me and the person I am going to marry are all going through some level of growth and some level of getting some help and talking to somebody, maybe it's time for me to do it again, but I got some deeper stuff. And somewhere in there, somebody's screaming, "Talk about Dave Ramsey!" Because I believe Dave Ramsey's way is like prioritizing your debt and just picking the smallest one and pay it off, and then pick the next one and pay it off, and then just knock off all the small stuff until you get to the big one. I believe that's how the Dave Ramsey thing works. Yes, I did just oversimplify it. I could oversimplify it even more by saying don't spend more than you make, but silly me. I absolutely love hearing that people seek help, and when people understand they can't do it alone, I absolutely love that. And you know what? It's something I could learn from, because it's not always fair. And when you have friends that will listen, it's a beautiful thing. Cherish them, appreciate them, and never take them for granted. Never overuse them. But also know that it is not their responsibility to be there. They don't have to. They choose to. And there's only certain, and like I said earlier, there's things that a professional can handle so much better than your friend of 10 years. Or your mother. And speaking of therapists, something else I've mentioned off and on airwaves about therapy is that it feels kind of like you're attempting to rewrite your DNA. Because when it gets down to it, you're starting to kind of look at your behavior, and this is whether in or out of therapy, you start to kind of like go back into the roots of things to see where, how you became this person, when you became this, and why you did that. And you have that realization of, is it working or could it be adjusted? And I have joked over and over again that it's sort of like rewriting DNA. And therapy is sort of, if not completely similar, it's looking at your behavior, looking at your past, looking at your present, and bringing light to why you are what you, or why what you were then has helped create the person you are now. And understand, everybody, this is me very much thinking out loud. These are the shows that I want the most for you to contribute. allofthe.aboveradio@gmail.com. These are the shows that I want you to contribute on the most. Because this is, as I've been saying, as I've said maybe twice now, no one should do this alone. No one should, and as much as I have used the airwaves and the podcast waves and the digital waves to vent and figure things out and ask questions instead of looking for answers. Can't do it alone. So here I am saying to all of you, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. Feel free to chime in with what you think so far about what we've talked about. And I'm one of those people that likes to start at the beginning. I'm a firm believer in kind of that whole concept of, yes, you can shave, but does it get rid of the hair? No. It just puts it back below the surface. I was one of those people, I didn't have the money to do it, but I was one of those people that wanted to do laser hair removal. I'm going somewhere with this. I was one of those people, I don't particularly like, for example, hair on my back. I have no idea why it is useful, especially living in North Texas. If I were living in Michigan still, maybe that little bitty layer of warmth extra would be helpful. But I don't really love hair on my back. And so, I thought about laser hair removal. Because, I mean, yeah, sure. When I lived in Michigan, this is 20 years ago. I'm not outing anything crazy at this point. The woman I lived with at the time, she shaved my back for me. I would stand in the shower. She would shave my back, and then I would just rinse it down the drain. And somewhere there's a plumber screaming at their phone. Sorry. But I feel the same way about self-realization and therapy, is that you got to start with the root. You just can't go to the surface and get rid of it. You have to go in from the root. Laser hair removal for that, for this instance. Or even just shaving your eyebrows to trim them versus getting them waxed or threaded. That's what I prefer. Got to go in from the root and pull it out. That's the only way to really get in and get it figured out. I have a lot more notes that I'm looking at when it comes to therapy. And I'm just trying to figure out how it all ties together. Because let's just be honest. Therapy in and of itself is not a straight line. As much as I want it to sound like a straight line, it definitely is not. But I will just keep coming back to this point when I don't have another point to give you. I love when people seek it. And so maybe you're asking, gee, Hank, hey, how you doing? Why have you not done it lately? Well, I sure as heck have thought about it. Especially in these last months since my fiance has started going. Maybe a little bit before that, but what I know is you have these instances in your life that when they happened, yeah, they happened, they hurt, but you moved on, but you didn't know that it kind of created a sensitive nerve, a raw nerve. And I've jokingly called myself a rescue pet a few times over. And I have referred to myself as a rescue pet in that if any of you have ever been privy to a rescue animal, dog, cat, whatever, they have been pulled from some level of trauma, whether they were living on the street, whether they were in a bad home, so on and so on and so on. Just a pet that was not given anywhere close to the optimal level of care and or love. And we had Cleo. My mother took in a rescue cat named Cleo. And Cleo, you could not pet her hindquarters. You could not pet near her tail. She would do this weird thing where she would kind of buck like a horse if you tried to pet her tail. Or pet her back end like her tail. Or near her tail. Her head, cool. Chest, cool. But she was not into it if you tried to pet anywhere near her back end. And I have jokingly said that I am a rescue pet in some way or another due to certain moments that directly were related to rejection or to headache or heartbreak. And instantly those moments bring up whatever happened then. Now, I am self-aware enough in that moment, or shortly after that moment, to know that the person who just did that thing to me is not the same person that did it 25 years ago. At the snap of a finger, you struggle to make that differentiation. But if given enough time to collect yourself and think about it, you can look at the person that just did that thing to you and realize that they are not that person from 25 years ago. So I'm going to sit here and tell you, I'm one of those people who tries very hard to be not self-actualized, not self-improving, self-updating. The moral of the story is I'm one of those people who tries my best to be in control of my own self and not need anybody's help to see where improvement should be made. And let me just tell you, doesn't always work. I am on the verge, sooner than later, of seeking that next level of actualization, of seeking that outside source for help. But I'll tell you what, this is something that I have thought of over and over again, and I've talked to my fiance about this over and over again. And it's really frustrating, and we just talked about this earlier, it's really frustrating how expensive being healthy is. Whether it's eating better, whether it's having a fitness center membership, whether it's getting massages once a month, whether it's going to therapy once a month or more, it's all really expensive. And you have to figure out just how important it is to you. If it's really important personally to you, but financially it's not viable, oof, that's where things get tough. And in the midst of paying for a wedding, and just paying to be an adult in general, I haven't prioritized it the way that I should. Just the truth. But is it coming around the corner? Yeah, probably. Will I commit to that? I should, so that then people can hold me accountable. But like we mentioned earlier, my lazy, insecure side would like to just save the money and think I can read enough audiobooks to fill in the gaps. But does that work? Not a full guarantee of that. And here's a little thought I'll bring to you before we depart. A few minutes ago, I mentioned the idea of self-actualization and therapy and being in a relationship are all some level of analyzing and rewriting DNA, where you have to go back to an earlier part of life to figure out why you are, why this part of you is what it is. Now, just an example if you're looking for one. After my sister left the house, I essentially grew up as an only child. And so, and we had such a gap in age when she did live in the house that I didn't have to share a lot of things. I didn't have a younger brother. I didn't share a room with anybody. So I grew up in some ways like an only child. And it led my behavior to become more of that. And it wasn't anybody's fault. It was just, I was the only kid there. I was the only kid there playing Nintendo. I was the only kid with the bike. I didn't have to share the bike with anybody. I didn't have to share the Nintendo with anybody. But when I was forced to, I put up a fuss. And so later on in life, I started to realize parts of me that were very selfish, parts of me that were very much about me first. And so I had to go back and pay attention to stuff like that. And so as we're talking about DNA, I have an interesting little thought. And here's, and this is me kicking a whole other hornet's nest, but that conversation about nature versus nurture. So think about this for a second. We are obviously a product of our environment. We are obviously a product of the people around us. We're obviously a product of the neighborhood, of the educational system, of the institutional system. We are a product of every bit of that. But don't you think we're also a product of people we didn't even know that came before us? Have you ever looked at pictures of you as a kid? Or let's try this. Have you ever looked at pictures of your nieces or your nephews and somebody says, oh, they look just like you? Have you ever looked at a picture of you as a kid and then a picture of your grandmother when they were a kid and be like, oh my God, I look just like that? Or a picture of your mother or a picture of your dad? Or have you ever heard your brother say to you, yeah, the first 5 years of my first daughter's life, we saw so much of your behavior in her. You ever stop to think about that? Like, here I am talking about rewriting DNA, and I'm thinking about what happened to me when I was 6 years old. Some of the stuff that makes you the person you are started in conception, started in grandparents' conception. And there's some scientist that's probably like, bro, you're just figuring this out. Or there's some scientist that's just like, no, you're absolutely wrong. What in the hell is wrong with you? This is all me just thinking out loud. And I find it such a daunting task that a psychologist or a psychiatrist will sit down with somebody and say, okay, start from the start. But where is the start? Do you start with when you were 6 years old and didn't want to share your bike? Do you start with your grandmother? Like, where do you start? I find it so daunting for a psychologist slash psychiatrist slash therapist to be able to try to unpack that, but I also find it a little egotistical that they think that they actually can. No one's gonna ever find an answer for nature versus nurture. There's really only more questions up until this point. But this whole conversation is fascinating to me. From where we started talking about when you see people growing, how do you react? to now that you've chose to react by getting help yourself, why do you do it? To you're doing it for the right reason, and now what does it look like? And now what is the process behind it? All of it fascinates me. There is some corner of my mind that thinks in a past life I was a psychologist, and I've jokingly referred to myself as a dollar store psychologist over and over and over again. And as I've grown up, there's been one or two professions that I've said, man, if I had more patience or more money, or if I could go back 10 years, I would go to school for this. At one point, I think I said I would have gone to school for psychology. But honestly, at this point in my life, and this is a really crappy thing to say, as badly as I think everybody needs to get help, or at least have somebody that they can talk to, man, if I had any choices, if you gave me 10 choices to go back to college and pick a career, or pick a new career, 9 of them would probably have to do with something that paid better. And it's not because I find any of those careers fulfilling, but man, it's not about having a bigger house, but what it is about is being more financially secure. And boy, I have seen a lot of nice houses and talked to a lot of people that have a lot more money than me, and they all seem to have the same 7 or 8 jobs, none of which sounded interesting to me when I was a junior in high school filling out college applications and wanting to be the next Marv Albert, or the next Howard Stern, or a successful photographer. Which is its own hornet's nest in and of itself. I've given you a lot to work with. I've given you a lot to unpack. I've given you a lot to think about. And I hope you take the opportunity to listen to this and process where you're at in the whole thing. And I really hope you take the time to contact me, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com, and we can have an open discussion about it. I really do love when people contact me, even when people are giving me the feedback that I don't like, when people are telling me things that I don't want to hear. It's all useful. It's all helpful. It's all greatly appreciated. alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com is how you find me. We will do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been a somewhat heavy edition, or at least a mind-expanding edition, of All of the Above, or All New, All Different, All of the Above. And I'm happy about it. I'm proud of what I just brought to you. It's not a complete show, because when it comes to mental health, there's no such thing as complete. There's no such thing as whole. There's only ever continuously improving. It's like martial arts. My uncle once said to my nephew thought he was funny. He was like, I know karate. My uncle said, you don't ever know karate. You're only ever learning it. Mental health? Yeah. You don't ever reach whole, I don't think. I think you are only ever growing. But kudos to every last one of you who chooses to continue to grow. Doesn't happen every day, but just keep on walking forward, people. and we're all going to do it together. We're going to look like that. We're going to look like that Pass It On commercial with those badass kids from the Special Olympics running that race. We're going to run elbow in elbow across the finish line together. No one will be left behind. We will all do it because growth is great. May there be a next time. I say till next time. This has been all new, all different, all of the above.